Blog Talk Radio.
Scientists Exposed radio show, part of the Freedomizer Radio Network. Yes, we trust science. It's just scientists we don't trust. Visit madscientists.exposed for many ways to listen or call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air. Again, that number is 319-527-6208. And now, here's our lead investigator, Suzanne.
Hi, and welcome back to another exciting week of Mad Scientists Exposed right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. And I thought today it would be a lighter subject because next week is going to be back to the heavy vaccine subjects. But daylight savings time can be a heavy subject to some people. I know there's been a lot of arguments. Indiana used to be split down the middle. Half would go on daylight savings and half wouldn't. And they reunited a few years ago, and people are still mad about it. And I see that on Twitter. But I grew up in a state that practiced daylight savings because 48 out of the U.S. states practice daylight savings. And I grew up on it, and I didn't know there was any other way to live. Just, in the summertime, yay, you're off school, the sun goes down really late, it's light out, you can play with your friends till about 9 o'clock at night, at least in that part of New York, and I thought nothing of it. And then, and in the wintertime, well, of course, it gets dark sooner in the winter, so it would get dark around, I don't know, 5 or so, and I didn't know any different, and that was fine. But then, in my young adulthood, I moved to Arizona, and Arizona does not change its clocks, and it was a surprise at first. I didn't know that was even legal. And what happened was, in one of my astronomy classes, the professor said, "Oh no, it's not because it's hot out. It's because Arizona is actually closer to the California, Pacific time zone than it is to the New Mexico time zone." And that, if you look at a map, that's just not true. Anyway, the truth is it is so hot in most parts of Arizona that in the summertime, we want the sun to go down because we do our outdoor activities in the early morning when it's, nice weather. It can be, there's like a 35 to 40 degree temperature swing in the driest parts of the year. And that, in a kind of abuse your plants and everything you got outside, but, people dress in layers here, they extra sleeves, and then they peel as the day goes on. And, but in the mornings, that's when the golf courses are packed here. I know when Donald Trump came and did his, one of his rallies here, it was, 117, 119 that day, and it was in the afternoon, so it was really bad. So the protesters really, really put it on the line to be out in that heat. And it was a large parking lot to cross, and we walked across it. And the parking lot was so hot that our shoes were sinking in to the pavement because the pavement was softening in the heat. And so, you don't dare fall down. Kids that fall on bicycles, onto the sidewalk, whatever, they end up in the hospital with burns. So it's pretty bad. We want the sun to go down. But in the mornings, so Donald Trump made the crack. He goes, "Well, I don't know if I'd want to play golf in this." The truth is, in Arizona, people play golf at the crack of dawn. My mom used to live on an edge of a golf course, and she would just watch across the street, you know, as you know, the sun barely, or the light just barely coming up. And as soon as the light barely comes up, people are out there swinging their clubs, because that's when we do our outdoor activities. So, of course, we don't want it to be later. You know, we don't want to mess with the clocks. It's just too much trouble. But, you know, I thought, well, okay, you know, this, I really got to like not changing the clocks. You know, because that's twice a year you have to mess with your sleep cycle. And, you know, you start to wonder, gee, what health effects does that have on people? And, you know, there's some the articles out there, 7 ways daylight savings time can affect your health. An hour of lost sleep and out of whack circadian rhythm could affect your fertility, heart health, mood, and more. And they have this woman looking pretty miserable trying to wake up out of the bed. So let's see if they have them listed here. Well, they headline their paragraphs. In vitro fertilization success rates drop in March. Whoa, and they're going to blast me with a video. Let me mute that. Come on, mute. Wow. The weeks immediately following the March time change may carry unique risks for women who have had a previous miscarriage and are undergoing in vitro fertilization. In a recent study published in Chronobiology International, miscarriage rates were much higher for women in this group whose embryo transfers were conducted within 21 days of the start of daylight savings time compared to those whose transfers were conducted the rest of the year. The study found no link between miscarriage rates and the fall time change. That's because I believe you're going to sleep an extra hour that time, nor any other time of the year patterns. And the authors say more research is needed to confirm a true link, but they hope their finding will shed some light on how changes in circadian rhythm can affect fertility and reproduction. Well, certainly the woman's fertility cycle is tied to, you know, the lunar cycle, and you know, when you start messing with the sleep cycle, and everybody's sleep cycle is tied to the rotation of the Earth. And this is terrible. I didn't realize the miscarriage rates were higher. I knew there were heart attack statistics and car accident statistics and stuff like that. Pro-life like me, and this daylight savings is costing lives. Now I know why the elites don't want to change it. The people running the world that publish their depopulation agendas. I always look for the cynical angle there. If there's not money to be made, then there's power to be made. And power usually, eventually, if you follow the trail far enough, ends in death for some people. Anyway, so let me scroll down to the next one. Let's see, after the IVF failures, stroke rates rise when daylight savings starts and ends. That's messing with your sleep cycles. Heart attacks spike after the spring time change. So the spring time change brings miscarriages and heart attacks. Both time changes in the spring and the fall bring strokes, which are deadly and crippling. Fatigue and cyberloafing are rampant. I don't know what cyberloafing is. Let's see. Lost sleep can have more obvious health effects as well, like fatigue and decreased productivity at work. Well, that's a given if you have less sleep. In fact, Google searches for entertainment content, specifically the terms YouTube videos, music, and ESPN, rise sharply on the Monday after the spring time change, according to a 2012 study in the Journal of Applied Psychology, suggesting that sleep-deprived employees are spending more time cyberloafing, quote-unquote, or using the Internet for personal use while pretending to do work. Well, they can't think clearly. Or usually provide free coffee, and maybe they should double up on those days. Teens are especially exhausted. That's the next headline. High school students may be particularly vulnerable to daylight savings induced sleep loss, says Dr. Kumar, since their internal clocks make it difficult for them to shift their sleep patterns an hour earlier. A 2015 study in the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine found that teens lost significant sleep after the spring time change and showed increased sleepiness, daylight, delayed reaction times, and more lapses in attention on subsequent days. This is concerning not just for academics, but also for teen drivers, safety behind the wheel. In fact, several studies have reported increases in fatal automobile accidents in the days following the spring time change, and I don't think that's just teenagers. Cluster headaches may strike. That's another, maybe because people are doubling up on coffee. I know certain brands of coffee give me these horrible headaches, and I have to be careful which brands of coffee I can't use instant coffee at all. And certain brands of coffee cause these like knife pains through my eyes, so I got to be really careful. Anyway, for people who get cluster headaches, a rare but extremely painful disorder, I don't think it's that rare. Attacks often occur around seasonal changes, especially after increases in warmth and light. Some people report increases around daylight savings time changes in the spring and the fall, or around summer and winter solstices, the longest and shortest days of the year. Well, that's a gradual change, and there's nothing you can do about that. Depression diagnoses rise in the fall. In the fall, losing an hour of evening light can be a serious downer. Well, you're going to lose an hour anyway. You're actually gaining an hour when you go to daylight savings. Anyway, in a 2016 study published in Epidemiology, found that depression diagnoses actually increased in the month following the shift back to standard time. No increase or decrease was associated with the springtime change. An amount of daylight you're exposed to really can have an impact on mood and depression, especially for people with seasonal affective disorder. You know, people, you got to keep up on your vitamin D. You got to spend some time out in the daylight, no matter what season of the year it is. Anyway, says Dr. Kumar, spending time outdoors during daylight hours, even a quick walk in the morning or at lunchtime may provide some protection. I just said the same thing. Anyway, so heart attacks, strokes, falling asleep at the wheel, miscarriages. Now, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this to ourselves? I mean, I know when I've waded into arguments online, there's some really trolly people out there that are really adamant. Oh, I love the late light in the summertime. We have our barbecues and we have our this and our ball games and blah blah blah. But they're nasty about it, and I've never quite figured that out. And now that we see that it is tied to a higher death rate, messing with the human population, you know, I'm always on the lookout for ways that the system wants to do us in earlier. You know, and here, most of my life, I thought it was no big deal. And, you know, I moved to Arizona, and then about 15, 17 years ago, I moved back east for a while, and I took my kids with me, and, you know, their dad came, and we were in the process of all moving there as a family, and went ahead with the kids and started them in school, and that was tough, too, because we had been homeschooling where you're not really tied to a clock as much, but we tied ourselves to a clock, and we started participating there. And, you know, when the days are short, it's not that big of a deal. Well, we weren't on daylight savings. When we went on to daylight savings and then the sun just wouldn't go down, they still had to get up really early in the morning for their school, but I couldn't get them to come in for dinner. Couldn't get him to come in for doing the homework. Couldn't get him to come in for going to bed, you know. And it was due to the daylight savings. The sun would not go down. And part of that also was because we also moved farther north. Besides moving to another state that did daylight savings, we also moved farther north. And the farther north you live, the later the sun goes down in the summertime anyway, the longer the day is compared to southern latitudes. And I know back in 86, my father and I went up to Calgary and Banff and Jasper and Vancouver, Canada, you know, from Arizona to do the tour up there and see the Canadian Rockies. And it was really beautiful. And the day was about 20 hours long and the night was about 4 hours long. This was in, you know, high July, you know, and they did daylight savings. And I never figured out why they would do daylight savings. If they left the clock alone, didn't do anything in Calgary, Banff and Jasper, and Edmonton, and Vancouver, the sun would have gone down at 10 at night, which was even later than, you know, New York in daylight savings. It would have gone down at 10 o'clock and it would have come up at 2. But instead they did daylight savings, so now the sun would go down at 11, it would get dark at 11, and it would start getting light again at 3. And I never, ever figured out the purpose. Why is Canada on daylight savings? I mean, it's really, I never figured that out. And because it's totally useless. People can't work 20-hour days, you know, so they're going to have daylight in, you know, some daylight in the morning, some daylight at night, you know, anyway. It just really, really struck me odd. So that was my big question. And I had another thought on that, and I kind of lost it, but it'll come back to me. Anyway, when I was in Maryland with the kids, you know, they wouldn't come in for dinner. And the ice cream man would come around at 10 at night. Now, that ice cream man had a story of his own. But I would finally get them in, fed, homework done, settled, go to bed, you know, 10 o'clock. And then the ice cream man would come through ringing his bells and wake everybody up in the house. And my kids would wake up at perfect temper tantrums because I wasn't going to take them out at 10 o'clock at night to go buy ice cream. But, you know, he was waiting till just after the sun went down, I thought, at the time. Now his side story was that 9/11, he stopped coming. And I didn't make the connection. But I did know that he would always go. There was one section of the complex that was, you know, strongly Muslim connection. There were, you know, the moms would watch their kids on the playground in their burqas. It's like, okay, you know, my kids had friends of all races, including Arabs, you know, in the school. And no, we didn't think anything of it. We were in and out of each other's apartments, and it was, you know, all fun and everything, and the kids were sweet. And after 9/11, he stopped coming. And then he started coming again in November, really late at night. And I was like, oh, no. And then there was a story about one of their families. First we found out that some of those hijackers, in particular Muhammad Atta, had been staying in that particular complex. And that was very upsetting. We found out after the fact. And that was their modus operandi. But the reason that they never picked up on it is because these ice cream trucks at the time were being used as messenger carriers. And the guy in San Diego that went on trial, his family sold, and it was a news story, one of those news stories you only hear once. His family sold the brother's ice cream truck to pay his legal bills. And I'll think of his name before the show is up. But anyway, that really ticked me off. It really upset me. And you know, I'm sure there are a lot of honest ice cream men out there. But, you know, after we moved back to Arizona because, the whole job thing didn't last, actually. But there were stories in Tucson about ice cream trucks stealing drugs out of their ice cream trucks. So I don't want to besmirch honest ice cream vendors that are selling real ice cream, but y'all don't send your kids out there without parental supervision, please. Anyway, so back to the daylight savings. Here's some more hazards on daylight savings. There's the health effects. Does daylight savings hurt your health? There's timeofdate.com. Oh, we should go over the history of daylight savings, too, because it's a bit of a joke. Anyway, yeah, here's another article confirming the first article. More heart attacks, depression triggers, disrupts the body clock little by little. You can't do it little by little. You just got to change your clock, and that's it. You know, and anybody who's been through jet lag, I don't know. This is kind of like the same thing. This is like jet lag. And there have been articles asking high schools to actually start later. High schools start incredibly early in the morning, and that really doesn't work well with teenagers. And they do it anyway. Why? Why? I think there's just power tripping people out there. I can't think of a reason to do it unless you're running a double schedule because you have an over-subscribed high school. We have people working first shift and students coming in, you know, second shift, first shift, second shift to double up on the use of the high school. But that doesn't happen too often anymore, I don't think. But anyway, so I've got more articles here. Let's pull up some more. History of daylight savings. Why don't I pull up one of those? This is timeanddate.com. And there's some stories about Benjamin Franklin. They have a picture of him here. Benjamin Franklin suggested, rather jokingly, to wake up earlier to save candles. Well, daylight savings used to save energy and make better use of daylight. It was first used in 1908 in Thunder Bay, Canada. Daylight savings normally adds an hour to standard time with the purpose of making better use of daylight and conserving energy. And that was back in an agrarian economy. We're not so agrarian anymore. This means that the sunrise and sunset are 1 hour later on the clock than the day before, and so much of our produce now is hydroponically grown. I mean, they can just control light. Just put the light on a timer, you know? Anyway, first used in Canada in 1908. In July 1908, Port Arthur, which today is known as Thunder Bay in Ontario, Canada, became the first location to use daylight savings time. Other locations in Canada were also early to introduce daylight savings bylaws. On April 23rd, 1914, Regina in Saskatchewan, Canada, implemented daylight savings. The cities of Winnipeg and Brandon in Manitoba followed in 1916. According to the 1916 edition of the Manitoba Free Press, daylight saving time in Regina, and that's how they pronounce it, proved so popular that bylaw now brings it into effect automatically. Now it says Germany, first country to use daylight savings time. Germany became the first country to introduce daylight savings when clocks were turned ahead 1 hour on April 30th, 1916. The rationale was to minimize the use of artificial lighting in order to save fuel for the war effort during World War I. The idea was quickly followed by the United Kingdom and many other countries, including France. Many countries reverted back to standard time after World War I, and it wasn't until the next World War that daylight savings made its return to most of Europe. Ancient civilizations. Although daylight savings time has only been used for about 100 years, the idea was conceived many years before. Ancient civilizations are known to have engaged in a practice similar to modern daylight savings, where they would adjust their daily schedules to the sun's schedule. For example, the Roman water clocks used different scales for different months of the year. Well, you know what? If we in Arizona can golf at the crack of dawn, adjust our schedules to accommodate the heat of the sun, I'll bet those Egyptian workers could too. Egypt is not a country known for its nice, cool, pleasant weather in the summertime. Anyway, Benjamin Franklin. American inventor and politician Benjamin Franklin wrote an essay called An Economical Project for Diminishing the Cost of Light to the editor of the Journal of Paris in 1784. In the essay, he suggested, although jokingly, that Parisians could economize candle usage by getting people out of bed earlier in the morning, making use of the natural morning light instead. Well, but he was joking, and then people took him seriously. Hudson and Willett. In 1895, New Zealand scientist George Vernon Hudson presented a paper to the Wellington Philosophical Society proposing a two-hour shift forward in October and a two-hour shift back in March. There was interest in the idea, but it was never followed through. In 1905, why don't people just respect nature, respect their own bodies? In 1905, independently from Hudson, British builder William Willett suggested setting the clocks ahead 20 minutes on each of the four Sundays in April and switching them back by the same amount on each of the four Sundays in September, a total of 8 time switches per year. Well, I guess I don't think you could coordinate a whole population 8 times a year to do that kind of a thing. I don't know. First Daylight Savings Bill. Willett's Daylight Savings Plan caught the attention of Member of Parliament Robert Pierce, who introduced a bill to the House of Commons in February 1908. The first Daylight Savings Bill was drafted in 1909, presented to Parliament several times, and examined by select committees. However, the idea was opposed by many, especially farmers, so the bill was never made into a law. Willett died in 1915, the year before the United Kingdom started using daylight savings in May of 1916. Now, yeah, they've always made the excuse, well, we need daylight savings in the summertime for the farmers. Well, you know what? Cows can't read clocks. So no matter what you set your clock to, the cows are going to want their milk at the same real time every day. Anyway, daylight savings in the United States. In the U.S., fast time, as it was called then, was first introduced in 1918 when President Woodrow Wilson, the eugenicist, signed it into law to support the war effort during World War I. The initiative was sparked by Robert Garland, a Pittsburgh industrialist who had encountered the idea in the U.K. Today, he's often called the father of daylight savings. Only 7 months later, the seasonal time change was repealed. However, some cities, including Pittsburgh, Boston, and New York, continued to use it until President Franklin D. Roosevelt instituted our year-round daylight savings in the United States in 1942, and it was called wartime. Wartime daylight savings time. Year-round daylight savings time, also called wartime, was in force during World War II from February 9, 1942 to September 30, 1945 in the U.S. and Canada. During this time, the U.S. time zones were called Eastern Wartime, Mountain Wartime, Central Wartime, and Pacific Wartime. Well, they could switch the orders on those. After the surrender of Japan in mid-August 1945, the time zones were relabeled peacetime. The UK applied double summertime during World War II by setting the clock 2 hours ahead of Greenwich Mean Time during the summer and 1 hour ahead of Greenwich Mean Time during the winter. Ugh. U.S. Uniform Time Act of 1966. From 1945 to 1966, there were no uniform rules for daylight savings in the U.S., and it caused widespread confusion, especially for trains, buses, and the broadcasting industry. As a result of the Uniform Time Act of 1966 was established by Congress, it stated that daylight savings time would begin on the last Sunday of April and end on the last Sunday of October. However, states still had the ability to be exempt from daylight savings by passing a state ordinance. And that's what happened in Arizona. They had it shoved down their throat for 1 year and 1 year only and repealed it immediately because we can't have the sun never going down. I mean, not going down till really late at night because we want the sun to go down in Arizona. We want the early day part of the day as our daylight. Anyway, and apparently, I don't know what Hawaii's reason was, and if anybody knows, give us a call. The number is 347-324-3704. Because I don't know why Hawaii doesn't, other than the possibility that it's so close to the equator that it's pretty stupid to just shift it like that. Because it doesn't have that much of a, doesn't have the drastic length of days shift that the northern latitudes have. Anyway, modern daylight savings and history in the U.S. The U.S. Congress extended daylight savings to a period of 10 months in 1974 and 8 months in 1975 in hopes to save energy following the 1973 oil embargo. The trial period showed that daylight savings saved the energy equivalent of 10,000 barrels of oil each day, but daylight savings still proved to be controversial. Many complained that the dark winter mornings endangered the lives of children going to school. Yeah, but they're not going to say here that that it actually killed people, because it did. I remember those days. Anyway, yeah, there's other politically correct things in here, too. They have maps of where daylight savings is used in the U.S., and they'll say most of Arizona, and part of Arizona doesn't. Well, the only part of Arizona that doesn't use daylight savings is the Navajo Nation. You know, they have their own separate laws, and they would have had to independently opt out when Arizona opted out, and I guess they opted not to opt out. Anyway, Energy Policy Act of 2005. After the energy crisis was over in 1976, the daylight schedule in the U.S. was revised several times throughout the years. From 1987 to 2006, the country observed daylight savings for about 7 months of each year, well, more than half the year. Ugh. The current schedule was introduced in 2007 and follows the Energy Policy Act of 2005, which extended the period by about 1 month. Today, daylight savings starts and ends on the second Sunday in March and ends on the first Sunday in November. So they did extended it by about a month because it used to be the last Sunday of March and the last Sunday of October. So now they backed it up a couple weeks in March and extended it a week or two in November. I'm just so glad I don't live in those states because, you know, it annoys me to just not be in sync with the sun. And that, I guess that comes from my background. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. Daylight savings today. Daylight savings is now in use in over 70 countries worldwide and affects over 1 billion people every year. And that's 1 billion people that are putting up with extra miscarriages, extra heart attacks, extra strokes, extra car accidents, and other health problems. The beginning and end dates vary from one country to another. In 1996, the European Union, EU standard, and EU-wide DST schedule, which runs from the last Sunday in March to the last Sunday in October. And, you know, Europe is a bit farther north than the U.S. Anyway, that's the history of it. Now, nowhere does it say the purpose. Other than that one hit at the farmers who opposed it. Purpose of daylight savings. Not the history. What is the main purpose of daylight savings? Oh, this is answers.com, and it's usually pretty dumb. What is the point? So I'm looking for a website that I might like. The purpose of daylight answers.com. That's worse than, oh, that's answers.com. They're the same. Primer Magazine. Myths and Truth, CNN. Ah, no, that's fake news. I'm not going there. The Origins of Daylight Savings, that's the origins. Oh, I don't read Snopes. No, I've caught them personally in lies, so I don't read anything Snopes has to say. Because I've caught them citing things that refute their declaration of false or truthity and something. Falsity or truth. I've caught them citing the very articles that refute what they're telling me. So, Yahoo, that's, you know, let me find something. It gives the purpose, origin, history, and purpose. DoeRoller.net. I don't know them. You know what? I don't think most people know the purpose of daylight savings, because if we're not in a worldwide war, well, let's try answers.com. Because certainly we're not saving candle wax anymore, and a lot of the world has a 24-hour economy now, you know, with a lot of stores and gas stations that are open 24/7. Well, I don't know about, you know, Europe and India and Mexico and all those, but the U.S. has largely a 24-hour economy except for the smaller shops. You know, you can get anything you want online. You can walk into a lot of Walmarts, a lot of grocery stores in 24 hours, depending on the size of your city. And it's taking a moment to load. So you know what? While I let that load, I'm going to run one of the required commercial breaks that we use to support Freedomizer Radio here. And Freedomizer Radio is the place to be for Freedomizer Radio shows. Come on.
Do you want to live a happy and healthy barefoot lifestyle? Join Barefoot is Legal Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time, to learn your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws against bare feet in public, and we are here to dispel the myths and empower you to stand up for your rights. Join full-time barefooter and victims legal advocate Nick Pierce on Freedomizer Radio or the Barefoot is Legal radio show Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific. And check out barefootislegal.org.
There are reports that say sitting all day at work is just as unhealthy as smoking. There is a hot new health trend called earthing, where you leave your shoes at home and you go out for a walk in the park. However, most of us work all day. This is where Serenity Rug comes in. Serenity Rug is meant to let you feel the grass beneath your feet while you have to stay inside and get your work done. This revolutionary footrest encourages movement and blood flow so you can feel better while working. Relieves muscle tension, improves circulation at your own desk while you're working. Anyway, please check out SerenityRug.com. That's SerenityRug.com.
Hi, everyone. Here is a sponsor that you can help save yourself some money and find new places to check out. Save Around is a very popular coupon book throughout most major U.S. cities. With Save Around, you get buy one, get one free restaurants, discounts on many department stores, car rentals, flowers, etc. With Save Around, you not only fund our network, you help fund your family and save yourself some money while eating out. I have a family of four. A decent meal is upwards of $60 for us, and if I could save $10 to $15 while taking out the family, I am very happy. You can view these books in your area before buying. Please check out FreedomizerRadio.com and our BarefootIsLegal.org website for the link. Check out the new book, click on your city, and in a few days, you will be saving yourself some cash with your new Save Around book.
You going to tell them? Should I tell them? I'm going to tell them.
Let's tell them.
Let's tell them?
Yeah.
We're going to tell them together?
Yeah.
I'll tell them. Okay. What are we telling them?
About Hope Radio.
Oh, yeah. When is that on?
It's on 9 o'clock Pacific.
Are you specific about that?
Yes, that is Pacific.
Okay. Where?
On Freedomizer Radio.
Woohoo!
Journey into Freedom is a show about just that. Come join me as we discuss alternative medicine, energy work, homeschooling, homesteading, barefooting, grounding, and so much more. This is a program where I want people to be heard and to share thoughts and ideas and opinions on everyday freedoms. Learning to free yourself from all things no longer serving to your purpose is the first step to living free. So let's discuss what makes us free and how we can attain those freedoms every day by the way we choose to live. Journey into Freedom with me, your host, Red Gypsy. Hope to see you then. Namaste.
Hi, so we're back, and we do have a caller, and we had a second caller, and they disappeared when we went into the commercial break. So I hope you call back. Anyway, it looks like that's our friend Ed. Hi, Ed, is that you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, yeah, thank you very much. It's nice to be on. When I heard your topic, I immediately investigated. I found a treasure trove of little stories about strange things about daylight savings time. But hey, you were saying about 15 minutes ago, you were saying that one of the proposals was that somebody said, this is back in maybe the 19th century, the 18th century, that they changed the clocks 20 minutes each Sunday for four consecutive Sundays. I'm sure that's it. Okay, well, unfortunately,
they were trying to respect people's sleeping patterns, I think.
That would be a change of 1 hour and 20 minutes, which would put that area not just an hour ahead, but like an hour and 20 minutes ahead, because it did say four changes of 20 minutes. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? I mean, if it was like, that would mean it's 5 o'clock right now, in 5:07 in the Phoenix area, and in New Mexico, it would be 6:20 or something like that.
That's crazy. Yeah, and you know,
just having
time zones alone is an accommodation for train schedules, bus schedules, and you know, telephone schedules and things like that. You know, you can figure things in. But if you were to actually put a sundial out in your yard, Tucson would read earlier than Phoenix would, because Tucson is a bit east of Tucson.
Oh yeah,
it's a bit south of the two, but. Can you imagine everybody coordinating their daylight savings by rotating their sundials? I don't know. I was trying to calculate the math on that.
Because, you know, Phoenix is almost northwest of Tucson. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
They think it's just north, that Tucson is close to the border. But you're almost going at 45 degrees as you're driving from Tucson to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange
angle. So it makes a difference. If you just put out sundials, get on the phone with somebody else with a sundial at the other end, you'll get slightly different times unless you adjust them exactly to match your defined clock noon.
Sure. If you can put up with me, I've got a bunch of little stories having to do with daylight savings time. Okay. One is that you're asking, well, why do they have this anyway? Well. Through 2006, daylight savings time in the U.S. ended a few days before Halloween, and it was noted that kids' pedestrian deaths are four times higher on Halloween than any other night of the year because of kids, you know, darting across.
Oh no!
So a new law to extend daylight savings time to the first Sunday in November went into effect in 2007, and it was for the purpose of providing trick-or-treaters more daylight and more safety from traffic accidents. Now, for decades, candy manufacturers had lobbied for this extension because they wanted more young kids to be out trick-or-treating, the kids that usually would have to go home after dark, you know. So they wanted an added hour of light. But it was very disappointing because what happened is, guess what happened? With the 2000 switch to a longer daylight savings time, it appeared children simply waited until dark to go trick-or-treating. They didn't want to go out trick-or-treating while it was still light.
Yeah, sure.
Changed from 6 to 7 or whatever. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Well, then they should just drop it if it didn't work. The whole problem is just being out in the dark.
Yeah.
I can imagine that's how kids think.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the time change has been really, really bizarre. You know that in the 1950s and 60s, each U.S. locality could start and end daylight savings time as it desired. So there were, for example, in Iowa, there were 23 different pairs of daylight savings time start and end dates.
Wreak havoc on the train schedules.
It's crazy. Yeah,
so
Boston,
that's why they
New York, and Philadelphia. It says Boston, New York, and Philadelphia were not on the same time as Washington, D.C., Cleveland, or Baltimore, but Chicago was. And in one Ohio to West Virginia bus route, passengers had to change their watches 7 times in 35 miles.
Seven times in
35 miles because of the different, you know, the, yeah. So this costs millions of dollars in costs. For example, timetables, extra railroad timetables to accommodate daylight savings time cost more than $12 million every year. There are crazy things here. Did you know that Minnesota, Minneapolis and St. Paul, they're basically right across the river from each other, right? The Mississippi River. And it's a single metropolitan area. But St. Paul decided to start daylight savings time early, and Minneapolis felt it should follow along with Minnesota state law. And they said, after intense intercity negotiations and quarreling, the cities could not agree. And so the one-hour difference went into effect. And this brought a great period of turmoil because, you know, you go one block from St. Paul into Minnesota, and it's an hour different, you know, in time. So it even,
wow.
Hey, this has even caused riots. There's even been riots. For example, at Ohio University, because bars were forced to lose 1 hour of drinking time. So in other words, instead of closing at 2 a.m., they had to close at 1 a.m. And drinkers would come out in the street, and they were throwing bottles at the police, attempting to control the riot. They were saying, freedom, freedom, freedom.
Wow.
My goodness. But
wow.
I've got a couple good ones for you.
My son had housemates from the Navajo Reservation for a while. He goes to school up at NAU, which is Flagstaff, near the Navajo Reservation.
Yes.
And so they would go on daylight – the reservation would go on daylight savings, and Flagstaff didn't. And so they would call that res time or something like that, res
well,
time as opposed to Flagstaff time.
Because of the Red Indians, I guess.
Yeah,
that's
they were native.
Well,
yeah.
What I read is the Hopi Reservation is entirely inside the Navajo Nation because Navajo Nation takes up about a fourth of Arizona. And anyway, they did not change. They did not change their time. So the Hopis are 1 hour off from the Navajos, which completely surround them. So that's a weird situation, too.
Well, that's up to them to resolve, I guess. I don't think the feds can step in on that.
Do you know that dozens of lives have been saved because of daylight savings time? In Israel,
really?
Here's what
and here
happened.
I've been quoting statistics that they lose life. What happened in Israel?
Well, maybe it was all made up by this one incident. In September 1999, the West Bank, which is under the Palestinian Authority, was on daylight savings time, but Israel had just switched back to standard time. So there were some West Bank terrorists that prepared time bombs. And they smuggled the time bombs to their Israeli partners, and they misunderstood the time on the bombs. So they were 1 hour off from when they were being planted. So as the bombs were being planted, they exploded 1 hour too early, killing 3 terrorists instead of the intended 2 busloads of people. They were going to be put on buses and kill 2 busloads of people. Instead, they killed the terrorists themselves.
My goodness.
Hallelujah,
oh my
right?
Goodness. Yeah, and I was mad today because my clock thought we were in a different – I mean, the microwave here thought we were in a different time zone and said it's time wrong. And I had just fixed it after a power outage. and that's just my microwave. You know, I just tell it how long to cook. I suppose it's programmable. You can tell it when to turn on. But that's terrible about the – well, I mean, it's terrible that they were setting bombs. You know, but I guess that couldn't happen in
1990. Well, the communication between the terrorists and their counterparts, they never accounted for daylight savings time. And so the bombs went off an hour early.
So it saved lives
of
people on the bus.
Well,
that's just one of the flukes
that
you can't predict. I mean, I guess people that blow themselves up in order to kill other people ain't that smart. To keep track of that stuff. I don't know.
Here was one very lucky guy. Okay, he was born. Here's a guy who was born just after 12 midnight, and he was drafted. You know how back in the you're not old enough, but back in the Vietnam War there was a draft.
Oh yeah, I
remember
the draft. I was a girl and I was too young, but I knew about the draft and what an awful thing it was.
Well, everybody got a number. eligible boys anyway. I don't know if girls, but eligible kids, you know, got draft numbers, and it was all had to do with the day that they were born. So here's a kid who had a low draft number, and he was drafted. So what happened? He went to the draft board, and he argued that standard time, not daylight time, was the official time for recording births in the state of Delaware in the year of his birth. And so therefore, under the official standard time, he was actually born on the previous day. He was born, a day early. And that day had a much higher draft lottery number. So he got out of the draft. He got a much higher number instead of the low number that he had.
Wow.
Clever, huh? I'm glad somebody thought of that.
I wonder if it affects my friends that do astrology.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. I've got some friends that do astrology, and it's all tied to their birth times. So
yeah,
might even affect people's birth dates. You know what?
What's that?
Wow, this is a big thing I never thought of. You're right. All these months that the rest of the country does daylight savings, this is messing up people's birthdays. 1/24th of the country has the wrong birth date recorded.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming everybody that the hours are evenly distributed.
Mm-hmm.
What a mess.
Well, it could get worse than that. Listen, with twins, it can change the birth order of twins, because if you have a twin born at 11:55 p.m. and the other one is born at 12:05 a.m., they have different birthdays, but daylight savings time can change the birth order on paper. During the time change in the fall, one baby could be born at 1:55 a.m. and the sibling born 10 minutes later at 1:05 a.m. So in other words, and there also would be a gap in the spring where no babies at all are born from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. That's just crazy, huh?
Wow.
There's an example. Laura Ciroli of North Carolina in November 27 gave birth to Peter at 1:32 a.m. and 34 minutes later to Allison. Okay, two babies, 1:32 a.m. and 2:06 a.m. However, because daylight savings time reverted to standard time, Allison was born at 1:06 a.m. So the baby that was born half an hour later ended up on paper being born an hour earlier, and therefore born on a different day, I guess.
Inheritance laws and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, what all could that affect? Is birth order? What kind of things are affected by birth order?
You know, you have to be born by December 1st to go to school. In some states, you have to be born by September 1st to go to school. But if you've been born, you know, in the middle of the night and the time shifted your birth date, or even for all those months that you should have been born on the previous day, that you were born on the following day, you know, maybe born around midnight, whatever time zone they're in, this really, really affects people's lives. And what purpose? What are we getting out of this? Okay, well, the Halloween thing, that went down the tubes because people wanted it dark. They're still trick-or-treating on sometime or nighttime. The cows don't like it. The cows don't care. You know, people get their circadian rhythms messed up. Higher miscarriage rates, higher heart attack, stroke, and accident rates. Mm-hmm. What are we doing to ourselves? You know, shutdown so fast his head spun. Mm. Arizona's not going to put up with it, and that's just about the heat of the summer. But why is it? You know, you walk into one of these debate forums online, and the pro daylight savings people are really nasty. And you know, if anybody out there is listening that's pro daylight savings, you know, I take it back. If you're a nice person, you know, give us a call. Why do you like daylight savings? You know, the number here is 347-324-3704, 347-324-3704. Most people in the U.S., that's how they're used to living. And if you like it, why? If you just grumble and change your clocks and drag through the week on jet lag every week, why do people do this to themselves?
That's a good question. Did you know that Amtrak trains, Suzanne, Amtrak trains that are running on time in when the clocks fall back 1 hour in October, they stop dead on the tracks at 2 o'clock in the morning. They wait 1 hour before resuming. So overnight passengers are often surprised to find their train at a dead stop and their travel time an hour longer than they expected. So that seems kind of weird, doesn't it? I mean, the train.
I never heard of that. Well, of course. Wow. So what do they do? What do they do when they have to cut an hour out of the night? Instead of adding an hour to the night, when they have to cut an hour out, do they go twice as fast? What do they do?
No, it says in the spring change, trains instantaneously become an hour behind schedule at 2 a.m., but they just keep going and do their best to make up the time. So I guess they go faster and faster to try to make up the hour that they're behind. That's kind of crazy.
Should we call our friend and ask what he does driving the subway, or does the subway shut down overnight in New York?
Oh, that's a question. I don't know. That's a good question. He's not home yet. He takes about 2.5 hours to get home on either the bus or the train because he lives in New Jersey. Traffic is just terrible. Well, here's one good reason to have daylight savings time. A study by the U.S. Law Enforcement Assistance Administration. Did you know that there was an agency called the U.S. Law Enforcement Assistance Administration? I'd never heard of that before.
Where is it now?
Anyway, they found that crime was consistently less during periods of daylight savings time, and that's because data showed violent crime was down 10 to 14%, and it's clear that for most crimes where darkness is a factor, such as muggings, home robberies, etc., there are many more incidents after dusk than before dawn, so light in the evening is most welcome. So light in the evening prevents muggings and robberies. So there you go.
Okay. But light in the morning doesn't prevent them.
I guess not nearly so many people are affected by muggings or robberies in the morning. Haven't you noticed that the bad guys tend to sleep late, right? The bad guys, and you can be in the worst part of
people.
You can be in the worst city and in the worst neighborhood and be perfectly safe, you know, at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning because all the bad people are sleeping. You know, and it's just that, and not so at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, of course, 2 o'clock in the morning wouldn't be affected by daylight savings time. It'd still be dark no matter what. It would just be like 7, 8, or 9 o'clock. I guess it would make a big difference.
On the very night that we go off daylight savings, that there's fewer crimes just because the night is shorter, at least 5 o'clock. But no, there's just as much darkness. You've just assigned it a different number.
Absolutely. Wow. So in 1916, where was this story? I saw that this story, among the first institutions affected by daylight savings time was the Berlin Opera on April 30th, 1916. That was the evening when clocks in Germany were to be set forward for the first time. So at 11 p.m., all German clocks were to be set to midnight. So the Berlin Opera, with wonderful forethought, changed its schedule and began its performance of Die Meistersinger an hour earlier than usual. And this allowed grateful audience members to be able to catch their trains home at the end of the performance. And all trains scheduled to depart between 11 p.m. and midnight were immediately behind schedule when 11 p.m. changed to midnight and so left as soon as possible. So anyway, so I guess they changed during the war because by April 1916, Germany was almost 2 years into the First World War. So I guess daylight savings time must have had some kind of...
Yeah, on one of these history of daylight savings, it talked the first country to use daylight savings in 1916.
They must have had a good... Well, the Germans were pretty efficient and pretty scientific in many ways, you know. I mean... They had a lot of great scientists and everything, so they must have figured out that was efficient. They were also efficient.
We brought a lot of them over here after the war to advance rocketry and other things, and some of that's gone bad with the vaccine industry and stuff. But we're untangling that over time.
Oh, are you saying because of maybe the German chemical industry and the drugs.
We took carbon, some of the scientists that were really smart, but not necessarily the good people. Yeah. They were part of the,
Yeah.
It's called Operation Paperclip or Project Paperclip. And
yeah.
Some of that hasn't gone so well. Some of it's gone fine, but some of it hasn't gone so well.
Yes.
I don't know.
Wow.
It's a whole different subject matter. We can talk about it more next week. We're going to be talking about vaccines next week. A guy that I'm friended with on Facebook named Christopher Wyatt, and he likes to try to catch diseases that there are vaccines for, in particular mumps, measles, and chickenpox, to show how they're just they're not worth vaccinating over. They're not deadly diseases. And that's true. The statistics are most people survive them.
Mm-hmm.
More people die of the MMR than die of mumps, measles themselves. So this is his agenda. So he keeps getting online and asking, when are people having chickenpox parties? And so he's got interesting stories, I'm sure. And so that's what we'll be talking about the next week. And the whole vaccine industry has been persuaded by this Operation Paperclip. You know, so anyway, but this Operation Daylight Savings, didn't start with, I wonder where Benjamin Franklin first thought it up. Because I don't think he made it up. If it's back in history, back to the Egyptians, then he might have just been joking around about, everybody tongue-in-cheek
things. Well, maybe joking, but he had so many wise sayings, like a stitch in time saves nine and stuff like that, right? So. He could very well have thought of daylight savings time. Is that the idea that he might have thought it up? It was his idea?
Yeah, well, in modern times anyway. I mean, there's a picture here of him on this site, timeanddate.com, under the history. Benjamin Franklin suggested rather jokingly to wake up earlier to save candles. But, I guess it depends how expensive candles were in the day. But I'm sure I don't know what their traffic situations were in those days. I know that they used to have accidents with horse-drawn carriages. Because I read a bunch of Jane Austen books back in the 1700s in England, is where they're set. And every so often there'd be a description of an accident of a horse-drawn carriage, and people died. They didn't have seatbelts. They didn't have motors, but they had horses. And it just never occurred to me that something that moves that slow by modern standards could still kill people, but I guess it can. That's why we have lights on cars, because they had lanterns that they had to hang on cars. And I know the Amish have lantern rules that they hang on their buggies.
So, the Amish?
I wonder what the Amish do. Yeah, I wonder what the Amish do about daylight savings.
Here it is. Amish communities in the United States and Canada are divided about whether or not to observe daylight savings time. Although the Amish are generally known for leading simple lives without modern conveniences, practices vary from community to community. Likewise, some Amish communities observe daylight savings time, while others do not. In one county in Ohio, approximately 10 of the 90 Amish church districts opt out of DST, known as fast time or English time. So DST is known as fast time or English time, preferring to observe what they call slow time. So it's either fast time or slow time in Amish country.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Cows are not going to adjust. They're just not. but the plants probably don't either if they're farming, cornfields or whatever they farm.
Yeah.
Huh. Lot to think about. So I have to take another commercial break, so why don't I do that? And in the meantime, people listening, call in, please. The number is 347-324-3704. Again, that's 347-324-3704. And I have to run a few more of these commercials. Here's Proof Negative. He follows immediately after this show, and there you go.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Body and Soul Awareness is a radio show geared towards anyone ready to reconnect with their true selves and get back into balance. Spend 90 minutes with us. Stephanie and Oksana, business owners and friends who are eager to discuss the importance of taking responsibility of your own well-being. We are two ladies on a mission to be the best possible version of ourselves while helping others to do the same. We will share our own life experiences and practical knowledge of how to take responsibility of your own well-being by implementing lasting lifestyle changes.
Yes, there are lots of toxins out there. Yes, there are lots of bad things going on in the world, and even people with bad intentions. But no, we are not here to talk about that. We're here to help you to discover positive lifestyle changes to help you navigate through ingeniously designed chaos. Join us and our guest speakers while we discuss topics like natural living, nutrition, skincare, healing arts, consciousness, meditation, self-awareness, spirituality, herbalism, body energy movement, and more.
Join us live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on freedomizerradio.com.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer Radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Truth Quest Radio with Tia Severino. What is the truth? And what does it mean to go on a quest for truth? Is it even possible to know in today's media-controlled environment what is truth and what is propaganda? Join us on Saturdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time at blogtalkradio.com/freedomizer for the Truth Quest Radio Show with Tia Severino, where we will be asking the questions that you want answers to.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
So we're back, and do you have any other interesting takes on it, Ed?
Well, in California, a Chevrolet Blazer packed with teenagers struck the median of a street and flipped over, tragically killing one teen and injuring a number of others. So the teen driver was fighting charges of felony vehicular manslaughter, and he claimed that the street was dangerously wet and unsafe because of a lawn sprinkler system. So the landscaper, who was responsible for the lawn system, had a computerized sprinkler system, testified sprinklers were set to come on more than 15 minutes after the fatal accident. But the outcome, which proved the teenager innocent, hinged on the fact that the sprinkler timer was not adjusted for daylight savings time. So the sprinklers had close to 45 minutes to make the road slick. So the road was slick, and that's why the Blazer went out of control. And if it had been adjusted for daylight savings time, it wouldn't have happened. So, otherwise he possibly would have gone to jail or had, you know, serious problem because of that. And then my final story, here's the final story. That AM, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of AM radio stations that are affected badly by daylight savings time because AM radio signals propagate further at night than they do during the day. During daytime, more stations in neighboring areas can broadcast on the same frequency without interfering with each other. Not so after, you know, when the sun comes up. So because of the situation, there's hundreds of stations that are licensed to operate only in the daytime. They cannot operate at night, only in the daytime.
Yeah.
So daylight savings time can affect the bottom line of these daytime only radio stations. During parts of the year, it causes the station to lose their most profitable time of day, which is the morning drive time. The morning drive time is the biggest moneymaker for AM radio station advertising. The gain of an hour of daylight and thus broadcast time in the evening does not compensate for the loss in the morning. So I'm sure in those hundreds of radio stations, they would much rather that there was not daylight savings time.
Wow. And I've noticed that sometimes when I've been listening to an AM station, as the sun is going down, all of a sudden it just cuts out. You can barely hear it because the
barely
propagation. I'm sorry. Yeah. Let's see. Now that's. Huh.
Yeah.
That seems like that seems like the reverse, right? Where they propagate better in the daylight than they do in the evening? Or
It's weird. I don't completely understand it. I think it has to do with the bare sunlight. I think it has to do with sunlight, you know, somehow knocks some of these radio knocks the signal right out of the sky or beats it up or something
like
that.
Legal requirements that they have to crank their power up or down depending on whether the sun was up or down. Huh.
Yeah.
So that's actually just
it's
they're not
true.
Having to. That's just the
because
even the ones that are like 24 hours, they run into trouble. I know my sister and her husband, they work in the back end of television. And, you know, in Arizona, you know, they're at a, you know, central, you know, it's pretty big. My brother-in-law is at a pretty big affiliate of a large company. And my sister works in the back end of several stations, hubs, where she runs master control of multiple stations at once. And, you know, they're used to dealing with this time zone changes of cities outside the Arizona bubble that they're, you know, controlling the ons and offs of everything. And there's the, you know, you download the feed and then you replay it at the appropriate time, and they're used to dealing with that. But one company recently bought out the other, and the management was all in a lather. They didn't know how to deal with it. And at one point they had a big crash and they were off the air for a while. And my sister said, well, you know, normally what we do is we'll download it onto the B-roll. We'll have a second recording ready to go in case the main feed goes down for any reason, like a power failure or the time zone issues or anything like that. Uh-huh. And it's like they dropped their mouths and ran out of the room. And within a couple of weeks, that was the new policy of the company, and she got a raise. So I was glad that they
she got a raise because
she got
recognized.
Yeah, she got a raise. But, you know, if they wouldn't have to deal with all these issues if they just, if the rest of the country just would wise up. When is the movement going to grow large enough to get rid of it? I don't know. Here's GulfNewsThinkers.com. Is daylight savings time an obsolete nuisance? It is not surprising that a number of countries, including China and Russia, have dropped the practice after trying it for many years. Well, I don't know about Russia, but China actually got rid of time zones. So it's the same time on the east of China as it is on the west of China. All their clocks are synchronized, and people just, if that's where they live, they get up at 12 o'clock. I don't know.
So it's just China time? They don't have an eastern time, western time?
I check that's going to be all.
Because they're pretty far. They're almost as wide as the United States going east to west. There must be three time zones.
Yeah, and I think Russia's like 11. Time in China.
Yeah.
Current local time in Beijing. Why does China have only one time zone? Let's pick. This is wisegeek.org. Hmm. So China, I was right. China only has one time zone. Let me try Russia time zones.
Oh, yeah. Gotta be 10 or 11.
I think it's like 11.
Stretches halfway around the world.
Time in Russia. Time, Russia time zones map, world atlas.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Not divine. Oh, it looks like it's only like five time zones. That's right. 9 hours. No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8. Nine.
At least, yeah.
anyway, this is daylight savings obsolete. This is the time of year when many countries, mostly in Europe and North America, spring forward by an hour, reducing one weekend day to 23 hours and losing an hour of sleep. Those 70 or so countries will recover that hour some 6 months later or more when they fall back to standard time, quote unquote. The practice, which started almost a century ago, has lately become a large worldwide source of confusion. To begin with, every country except those in Europe, which has a unified system, has its own dates for the start and end of, quote-unquote, summertime. Switch dates range from February 21st in Brazil to May 15th in Chile. In fact, in several big countries, not every region abides by the switch. In the United States, Arizona, and Hawaii do not. In Brazil, only the southern regions do the switch, and in Australia, two states do not follow the rest. And this all leads to confusion for the rest of the world when meetings, travel, and programming of various tasks have to be conducted internationally. And I can speak about that. You know, I used to work for a company. We would do telephone tutorials where, you know, we're all looking at the same computer screen, you know, and we would set appointments for tutorials. And when the people would go set up their appointment, they'd go to this calendar and the clock, and they'd choose their date and time. And the clock didn't tell them, well, Arizona isn't going to follow you when you go off or on daylight savings. And so there were times, particularly when we were, when they were springing ahead, then they would fall back, and we would be an hour ahead of what they thought. And we'd call them, and people would get angry and chew us out, and they would call and we'd say, well, we're sorry you have to reschedule because I have another appointment at this time, and it's not our fault that your region changed your clock. You know, that's what we're supposed to tell them. But, you know, really, the clock should have been, you know, there should have been a way for them to see that their clock was going to change and it was going to mess up their appointment time, because we would call them and they wouldn't be there and they would miss their appointment and then they'd have to reschedule for, you know, a few days or a week later, and they'd be mad. And so what I would do before calling anybody, I would call them at the time that my calendar said I was supposed to, but sometimes there were mistakes, and I would just always go to Google and say, what time is it in, you know, Grad or whatever, where the person was I was supposed to call, or Beijing or India, what time is it there? And sometimes I could tell they made a mistake, that it was midnight there, and I wasn't going to call them. I would send them an email and say, I don't think you meant to schedule it for midnight your time, that, you know, the calendar that you were scheduling on was actually reflecting Arizona time. And so, you know, that was, those things like that would happen. You know, I don't know if I was really supposed to do that. You know, that I was supposed, you know, the company policy was, oh, you just, you know, call them when they said that they wanted to be called. And I'm like, well, it's midnight there. I'm going to wake up the kids, you know. I don't know. It was back and forth all the time. But that was a real problem. And for international trade, it is a problem. So I would recommend to anybody, before you have to make an international call like that, just get on Google or DuckDuckGo or, you know, Yahoo, whatever, and just put in, what time is it in that city? Because otherwise, you can really mess up people's lives. I know the one time, his wife answered. And here I am, a female voice on the phone, calling her house at, I don't know, midnight or 1 in the morning, whatever the company told me to call, and because she was around the world, and she was mad, and she slammed the phone down. You know? Like, who's this woman calling in the middle of the night?
Well, right now in Honolulu, it is 2:46, and we're here at 5:46 in Phoenix, Arizona. So there's three hours difference right now between Phoenix and Honolulu.
Yeah, and they don't change. They follow Arizona. But, yeah, and you know, it was kind of nice that we never had a problem when we had to call Hawaii. You know, the clocks were the clocks, and they were just the clocks.
They seem to be on Hawaiian Aleutian time. So it's I think it's called Hawaiian Aleutian. So the Aleutian Islands of Alaska are in the same time zone as Hawaii. Now, what I'm not sure of is if Maui, I noticed here when I was Googling it just now that something called Maui time came up. What's the time? Could it be possible that Honolulu has, that there's more than one time zone between the big island of Hawaii and, you know, the smaller island like Oahu or Kauai, because Oahu and Kauai are much farther west than the Big Island. They're stretched over a couple hundred miles. So I can't get the information right now in front of me, but I'm just wondering if there might not be another time zone out there somewhere.
I just pulled up the time in both places. They're both 2:47 Maui time Maui time and Hawaii Honolulu time, Hawaiian Aleutian time.
Okay. Well, that's
HADT, So they have. You know what? It looks like some of them do go into daylight saving. They have HAST, Hawaiian Aleutian Standard Time, Hawaiian Aleutian Daylight Time. But
yeah.
The Hawaiian Aleutian Daylight Time is -1.5
Hmm.
So I clicked, there's a Wikipedia article, the Hawaiian Aleutian Time Zone.
It'd be nice to check that out. It would be nice to go cruising around the Hawaiian Islands in a yacht. You know, observing, you know, the time zone changes and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Having a Mai Tai or two, pulling into port cities like Lahaina, Kanapali, you know, beautiful places like that.
Oh, that's why the Hawaiian Ocean time zone, some of it goes on daylight savings and some of it doesn't, because some of it's in Alaska.
Daylight savings
is observed in certain regions of this time zone between the second Sunday in March and the first Sunday in November. In the Hawaiian Ocean time zone observes Hawaiian Ocean standard time by subtracting 10 hours from the coordinated universal time, UTC. The clock time in this zone is based on the mean solar time of the 150th meridian west of Greenwich Observatory. The zone takes its name from two areas. It includes Hawaii and the portion of Alaska,
So, Suzanne, if you are in Honolulu, and you get on a jet or your private plane and you fly up to Anchorage or Sitka or Fairbanks or whatever. You're going due north. Will you be in the same time zone?
I think Anchorage is the western, is the Pacific time zone. I'm looking at a map here.
Anchorage might be slightly east because the Aleutians are west of Anchorage, right? The Aleutian Islands are quite a bit west of Anchorage. So Anchorage might be closer to
the
Pacific time zone.
So I think Anchorage, let's see, the time in Anchorage right now, it's coming up, 4:50 p.m. So Anchorage is 2 hours ahead of Honolulu, because Anchorage, you're right, because Anchorage is part
really?
Of the, well, it's
well,
a time zone ahead.
I got a question for you. You seem to have a graph there that has some cities on. I got a question for you. Juneau, Alaska. Juneau, Alaska is considerably east of Anchorage, and it's on the American Pacific coast. It's kind of, it's north of, you know, Seattle and Vancouver and places like that. It's a little bit farther west. So where is Juneau in all of this? Is it in the same time zone as Anchorage, or is
it
is?
Also. Yeah.
Hmm.
So they're an hour behind California, but they're actually an hour ahead of where they should be. If they weren't on daylight saving, right? Is that right? No. But in Anchorage, in Honolulu, it's 2:47 So Anchorage is 2 hours ahead of Honolulu. Even though if you look at a map, one might be north of the other.
Wait a second. How can that be? That doesn't sound right. Anchorage is 2 hours ahead of Honolulu?
Because it's in a different time zone.
Yeah. But that's a massive change. But then again, you know what? Anchorage doesn't need to be on the same time as Honolulu. I mean, Honolulu and the Hawaiian Islands are fairly separate as business goes. I mean, you know, how much interaction is there really necessary between the Hawaiian Islands and Alaska? You know, they're what about 1,500 to 2,000 miles apart? 2,000 miles apart.
Yeah. But
wow.
Pretty much directly north of the other. It's not going to let me back out any more than I did. Come on.
Oh, no.
Give me a bigger map. Give me a bigger map. Oh, wow. The Aleutian Islands. Yeah, they go almost all the way to Asia. So,
well,
but I don't know
the Aleutian. Yeah. I'm surprised
the
they
is
call
on
it the Hawaiian Aleutian.
Is it
Anchorage?
That's right.
That's why they were afraid. In World War II, that's where they thought the Japanese would attack. But I guess they figured, well, what's the point of, conquering these worthless, fairly worthless islands up here, you know, near the Arctic? And so they never really did mount an invasion of the Aleutians. They could have gone island hopping across the Aleutians into Alaska. They were not interested in doing that, evidently.
Well, you know, the days are so long up there. As far as it almost doesn't matter if they're if midnight is shifted 1 hour in a 4 hour or 3 hour mm-hmm. block of darkness. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so most of Alaska is in. Let's see. The UTC minus 9 zone, but part of the Aleutians are in the UTC minus 10 zone. In Hawaii is in the UTC minus 10 zone. And the time zones are broken there, Hawaii, but they're also in that UTC minus 10 zone. Oh, just looking at the map.
What about Guam? Guam is a U.S. possession that is sort of in the middle of the Pacific, you know, west of Hawaii. That's got to be, but it might be on the other side of the international dateline too. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where the international dateline is in terms of Guam. And
doesn't
the United States own
smaller than Samoa?
Yeah. Wait, there's also those other islands. What is it? Isn't there, Suzanne? Isn't there an American Samoa in the South Pacific?
Well,
Samoa.
I just see Samoa. I think I need a different map.
Oh, okay. Then we're getting real close to the international timeline, which is pretty much in the Pacific there.
Yeah, and the time zones are not straight. They're not straight.
No.
I think countries are adopting time zones more related to where they are politically.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like what country they're part of and things like
that.
Yeah.
Like Japan would have a closer need to be in the same time zone as like Korea and mainland China and probably, you know, there's Russian territory just north of Japan, just so you know, like Sakhalin
yeah.
Island and Kamchatka.
Yeah, and there's that big peninsula there. I forget the name of it.
That's what the Aleutians
touch.
It's what? Yeah. What?
This map is taking forever to load. World time map.
Vladivostok, like for example, is Vladivostok, Russia, on the same time zone as Tokyo, Japan? Because one is almost due north of the other, I think. It's just a wild idea. I'm just guessing uh-huh. about time zones in parts of the world I know very little about.
Let me try this one. That website's taking forever to load, so I'm just going to try time.gov. They used to be pretty reliable.
Hey, why don't you do a show on why are websites taking so long to load these days? Why is it that everything we click on takes about 50% longer to come in than it did, say, a month ago?
Yeah, some websites come up really fast and some don't. And the Google websites have really, really gotten slow. And I don't know, maybe there's a kickback over what they did to natural news. Listing it. I don't search on Google anymore.
Curse.
Because your life could depend
on
it, and they're going to suppress health information. I mean, they've already proven that they do that to natural news. And so I don't use Google for searches, but I'm still untangling myself from their Gmail. Now, their Gmail, it loads really slow now, at least for me, and on one computer it doesn't load at all. And YouTube is incredibly slow. Used to be, just a couple seconds and it would come up. Well, now it takes forever buffering to come up, no matter what device I'm on, and sometimes it gets lost trying to load the ad that's actually supporting the channel I'm trying to watch.
Yeah.
And then it'll fall. It'll fall out of the ad.
You could click from the little tidbit that you're watching on YouTube to the next one. You could click on one, and you know while that thing is buffering or whatever loading, you could have enough time to go to the bathroom. And come back before it loads. It's terrible.
That's terrible. That's terrible. Well, so now that we know that doing daylight savings every year causes miscarriages, heart attacks, strokes, accidents, all kinds of
problems
things.
With
why
AM radio.
problems with AM radio, scheduling. I mean, I really think that there needs to be a worldwide uprising and toss this out the window, like GMO food. GMO time. Let's get rid of it. I'm sorry, what?
Suzanne, is Blog
yes.
Talk Radio basically on AM radio? Is it like AM radio? It's not FM. It doesn't sound like FM radio.
It's a world. Well, I don't know how they manage their sound quality. I don't know, but it's
Could
internet.
It have to do
it's
with,
not AM or FM at all.
Really?
It's not
so
AM or FM at all.
To do with, for example, so it does not get better or worse before or after sunset, for example, like. We're in the hour of the sun going down.
No, it's not that. It's total internet. Well, I don't know. Who knows about airborne internet? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might depend on your cell phones. And I'm getting the signals here from the system that we need to end the show.
Well,
and so I invite everybody to stick around and listen to Proof Negative. That show follows mine directly. If you're listening from the Freedomizer Listen Live page, hit refresh. Because between shows, it'll revert to replays of old shows unless you hit refresh at the time that the new show is coming on. So with that, I need to bid you adieu and come back next week. We'll have really interesting vaccine discussions. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ed, for everything you contribute.
You're welcome.
See you all soon.